This program is sponsored by West Automotive Group.
The West Automotive Group presents Auto Talk Radio with host Brian Bowersock and co-host Kevin Bowersock. Today's show is brought to you by West Escondido, West El Cajon, West Kearney Mesa, and West Miramar Automotive and Transmission, all part of the West Automotive Group. Get your automotive questions answered. Call Brian and Kevin at 1-888-344-1170. That's 1-888-344-1170. Now, here's your Auto Talk host, Brian Bowersock.
All right, folks, welcome to Auto Talk Radio this morning as we follow up Behind the Garden Show.
Good morning, good morning, good morning.
Good morning. Hopefully you got all your plant questions answered. I asked one in the hallway. I bought this cool tree from them. I think I talked about it before, and some of the leaves fell off. I don't know. I'm just trying to figure out what's going on with the thing. They asked me what happens when you don't put oil in a motor of a car, and I said, so I got to put a motor in the tree? They said, no, you got to put a new tree in the plant, potter, maybe. I might have killed it.
You got one plant.
No, I got several plants. Just this one is killing me. It's really tall, and I bought it specifically for this spot in the vaulted ceiling room, you know, and it looked really cool, and yeah, it is what it is. We'll figure it out. One way or another. So either I'll save its life or I'll have to get another tree. We'll see. Trying really hard. So to save the tree. Anyway, welcome to Auto Talk Radio this morning, everybody. Thanks for joining us. It's been another wonderful week. A little warm out. It's kind of cooler today, I think. A little cooler yesterday, huh?
It was a beautiful week.
It was a good week.
Yeah. I think it started out a little bit hot, but by the end of the week, it cooled down.
I think
down.
It's supposed to warm up a little bit again tomorrow on Sunday for a couple of days and then go back to normal temperatures. So
I had a nice week. It was cool. It was everything cool. Fell into place this week. So
good, good, good. It's what we like to hear. So anyway, hey, folks, we appreciate you joining us this morning. As always, we're going to talk about vehicles and cars and things as far as that goes. Feel free to join in. You can give us a call here at The Answer San Diego and Auto Talk Radio at 1-888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. We're happy to answer your automotive and vehicle related questions. Today we're talking about changing the fluids on your vehicle and when and how and what we recommend. And do you always follow the manufacturer's recommendations? This is one of those things. There's a few things in here we're going to talk about that recommended different items. And I want to talk about an interesting thing that as far as I was looking at, and somebody asked me some questions about in relation to something that sometimes I do this, like other professionals in the field, like they'll shoot me an email like, hey, what do you think about this, and you know, your input on it and stuff. And this had to do with a repair that another facility had done. And in relation to that, just wanted to know, the consumer was complaining about something, and I'll kind of get into that and they asked, hey, a couple of us, you know, they do this. Hey, can you take a look at this and tell me what you think? You know, so the point to that was in relation to, it was a 230,000 mile, what was it? It was a Chevrolet. I can't remember. Anyway, it had 230,000 miles on it, and it blew a right rear wheel cylinder out, started leaking, brake pedal. Whoosh, whoosh, whoosh.
Okay. So,
all right. Coated the brake shoes and, in doing so. So this gentleman is from out of town. Well, the customer that owned the vehicle lives up in Orange County,
okay,
but down in San Diego County for business. So he was looking for a place to get, obviously you can't drive the car like that, and he didn't have towing to tow it home. It would have cost like $300 or something. So he found a facility and he went to, and they looked at it and they said, look, you need to replace the wheel cylinders, both wheel cylinders, the brake shoes, because they're
soaked.
They're soaked with brake fluid, and, you need to replaced, recommended the drums because of they were close in tolerance. And you know, the drum can get hot spotted from the brake fluid.
Which, if they're close in tolerance, by the time you cut them, they're below.
They're recommended to do the job properly is okay. What it came down to. So this person has somebody that backwoods works on his car up there in Orange County. He calls the guy and the guy's like, oh, no, you could put one wheel cylinder on it and brake clean the brake shoes. And well, what the person didn't understand, the person up, I don't know about the person up there, but the client is. He kept saying in this thing, what is brake clean for if it doesn't clean the brake fluid out of the shoes? And
it's for cleaning it off metal.
Yeah, well, it's for clean. Yeah,
anything like a brake shoe or something is going to absorb it in, and it's always going to boil out of it.
You can't get it out.
Well, especially when it gets hot. That's when it's going to come back out of it again.
Plain and simple, the professional job is to replace both wheel cylinders, the brake. Shoes, and if it needs
to guarantee
drums,
the job,
drums
yes.
On. Yeah, exactly. And quality of the job, so the vehicle stops right. I mean, we are talking about brakes here, right?
Yeah.
So you're in your one wheel, so I replaced both of them. They both had 230,000. Okay, so finally, they come to a conclusion. They do brake shoes and the two wheel cylinders. They bent for him, and they cleaned it and resurfaced the drums. Although they were recommending them, they were really close, and anyway, which is fine. Okay, so the rear brakes all work now, and that's a done deal, right? Now, I guess 2 weeks later or something, they obviously had to flush brake fluid because it had lost all brake fluid, right? Bleed the system and all that.
Yeah.
So you flush your brakes, you know how you go through the whole bleed process then. So 2 weeks later, the ABS valving has an internal failure and fails.
Which would be part of the course because you just changed the fluid, so it's going to...
Point intake said that Backwoods up in Orange County says to him, oh, they bled it incorrectly. So this is where I come into the circle. I'm looking at all this, and they're like, and they're asking for my opinion. And I said, there is nothing that facility did, putting brakes on this, incorrectly to cause that ABS valving to fail. Well, I'll tell you exactly what happened to this, and that is flushing that out, moved it. I said, I bet you $100 because of the type of technician he goes to that doesn't fix cars properly, the brake fluid's never been changed on this car. I can almost guarantee
you. And then you put clean fluid in it and moves the dirt around.
Well, you move the sediment or whatever it does. You disturbed it, plain and simple.
Yes.
You know how that goes. So you disturbed it, right? So now the valve failed. That has nothing to do with that facility. They didn't do anything wrong. They did everything they were supposed to, and unfortunately, you have a high mileage vehicle, and you've not because and brake fluid is one of the fluids we're going to talk about today. It's imperative of replacing it. Yes, back in the old days, it could go for forever, right? I mean, until you had a wheel cylinder leak, it still would eat up the rubber parts. But we didn't have all you had was a proportioning valve as far as that.
Yeah, but I've seen some proportioning valves stick before, I've also noticed, like, even on older ones, when you change it out to a better fluid, mm-hmm. you don't get as much brake fade.
Correct. Oh, because the moisture content is high in old brake fluid. I'm not saying it wasn't good. I'm saying that back then it didn't cause many problems. Now we have all this ABS valving and all this, so you can run into a lot more problems.
Yes.
A lot more expensive problems by not changing the fluid when recommended.
You know what's weird is why that guy would start blaming other people anyways like that, because you can do a quality job, and if you buy even quality, let's say, wheel cylinders, one of them can still
anything can fail.
Yeah,
but that's nothing failed that they did. There was nothing wrong with the repair.
Well, it's one of those things. I mean, as you've been doing this long enough, you know to go, you know what, it looks like he did a decent job, but it just the part was.
Here's what I got out of this looking at it. And if you're like, keep in mind, I'm not involved. We're not involved.
It wasn't one of
our facilities that worked.
There's
on
a lot of jobs that come to us though, and I'm like, well, it looks like they did it right. It's just
something failed, or they did all this right, and this failure over here isn't related, which was in this case. So the point, looking at all this, and to give an objective, what I got from this from the beginning though was it started out about money. And it finished about money. So when you say it has nothing truly to do with the repairs that those guys did, except for the fact he didn't want to spend hardly any money and now he's got to buy something else for the car. Hey, it's your car. You drove it. You broke it. You own it. So it doesn't, you know, I mean, cars break. And that's another thing somebody asked me this week. I've had a couple of these conversations this week. Like, we had a Toyota Tacoma in that the brakes were metal to metal. You couldn't. So we put brakes on the car, right? And then they go out to road test it. Actually, Kehlani was working on this vehicle.
Uh-huh.
And there's a wheel bearing that's trying to jump off the vehicle, like, really loud, right? So the conversation was, you sure it needed brakes? Well, the brakes were already metal to metal. Yeah, here they are. It's, you drove them into the fins, you know?
Yes.
So yeah, that was bad. This wheel bearing obviously has been making noise for a little bit. So anyway, one of those things that, you know, so showed and then understood and all that, that was at our facility, that brake job. Anyway, just some things that have to do with vehicles and interesting stories and a couple, you know, good things that it got into, you know.
So, right.
And I've had some conversations with people. I had a conversation with a good friend of mine about a radiator for her Lexus. Totally different thing. And she's not sure she wants to keep this vehicle. She's trying to save some money. And we got a conversation about, you know, offshore stuff and cheaper stuff. And I said,
don't do it.
That's my advice.
Well, even quality parts can fail.
Yeah, but non-quality parts can really fail.
They fail a lot more.
Well, and I said, listen to me. Listen. The small difference in price versus using a factory Denso radiator, which is factory for that car, and using something offshore, it can be catastrophic. You're driving the car, just it's a radiator. You're driving the car, and you might think, well, I'll save a few dollars here. The radiator, the header blows out on a cheap one. The car overheats now, that, and it's an LS400 Lexus, so the motor's not cheap in that bad boy. The car overheats and freaking, now the motor's no good. Well, now the car's not worth anything. All over saving $80.
Yeah, but even,
I don't know what.
Yeah, but even if you don't go there and you had someone install an offshore one, mm-hmm. and then you have to, especially if they're telling you it's better to use a quality part and you want the cheaper one. So mm-hmm. now you're on, kind of on your own on that.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to go back and have to, just right there, having it replaced again is going to cost you a lot of money. I mean, you know what I mean? Even if you don't catastrophically.
Even if you don't catastrophically kill the vehicle. Yeah. Yeah. Still, you get the pay. Pot, and that was another conversation with this wheel bearing that I had also. Like, people send like a picture to me, like, what do you think of this one? I'm like, that's a great price, but I'm going to tell you where that's coming from. So that is not going to work out. And here's the conversation I had with that. So think of this. Same thing like you're saying. To replace that wheel bearing, it was like $300 labor.
Uh-huh.
So you buy this offshore one and you save like $90 or $100 or $120 or whatever, $200. I don't know, remember what it was. The point to that is you're going to spend it again, because the thing I said about that is we've been down that road with those offshore ones when they first came out with them, and they last like 6 months. And well, then you're back doing it again because it'll start making noise.
If they even last six
and
months.
And it might destroy the brake pads too, because you know how they kick sideways.
Well, a lot of them aren't even set up right from the beginning, so they'll start making noise right out of the gate anyway.
Yeah, so who's going to repair? Now you got to.
There's a reason they're cheaper, because they shave labor time, parts time, or
well, not that it's the quality of the metal. Also.
Well, that's where I was going with that too.
I mean,
we can
go right down the Rockwell hardness.
But instead of going back and readjusting the shims to make sure the bearing has the proper preload on it, they'll just slap it together and leave it like that. So there's some of the labor they save on it too. That's why your stuff gets a little higher, a little higher.
Yep. All right, let's grab Les real quick in Chula Vista. What's happening, Les?
Hi, gentlemen. Right on what you were talking about, brakes. Wow. I have a 1993 Plymouth Grand Voyager,
mm-hmm.
only 129,000 miles on it. But 10 or 15,000 miles ago, the AB system would go out
mm-hmm.
right in the middle of the freeway, and I'd have no brakes.
Oh yeah,
and,
it's bypassing.
He was very dangerous.
Yes, very dangerous.
And the pump that pump was $450.
Yep.
Or more. And I had a good mechanic, worked out of his garage in El Cajon, been an engineer.
Mm-hmm.
And I told him, I don't want no more ABS system on it. He took that out. He put in a new master cylinder. He had to go to Otay and get a new brake pedal. And he put that thing together, and I have better brakes on that machine than I ever had in its history when I bought it brand new.
Wow.
So there are times that you take this factory stuff and you throw it in the junk.
Well, he had to put factory stuff on it. He just put a system that doesn't have ABS.
I think from the factory that very same type of vehicle had some models that did not have an ABS system in it.
Correct, and that's what I believe he probably did was took it off. So the stuff on your vehicle is still factory; it's not offshore. So I mean that it is original equipment, just not for that vehicle.
What year was that again?
What year Caravan is it?
It's a 93.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's back when you had to order ABS, which is we were talking about sometimes. This morning.
Or some models just came with it. Some didn't. Sometimes they made them two different ways. So, yeah, that's not the case these days, though. I'll tell you something also. Changing a vehicle up like that, why most of us won't do that, is there's a high liability to it. If you were to get in an accident now with that vehicle...
Well, first of all, that's illegal for us to do.
Yeah, exactly. We don't want to be doing things like that. There's a liability. That's why we keep things OEM. But yes, you are correct. Your friend could, and you know what? I've seen people do a lot of things to their own cars, and that's on their shoulders. But yeah, you got to be careful with some of those things.
Well, I'll just tell you one more thing. Sure. I think you're talking about aftermarket parts.
Yes.
Now I'm going to take issue with you guys.
Okay.
I buy aftermarket parts all the time.
We're not. Especially
on a BMW because they're one third or one quarter of the cost. Mm-hmm. For example, on a BMW, you can never put in new rotors. I mean, you can never grind rotors. You have to put new ones in. You get them aftermarket for $25 a piece.
Yeah, we're not
Let me finish. You put the factory ones in, they're $95 or $100 a piece. That's foolishness. Mm-hmm. That's foolishness.
Yeah, but we're not talking about all aftermarket parts. We're talking about cheap offshore aftermarket parts. We use a lot of aftermarket parts. Good quality ones are fine. There's all kinds of like Brembo and stuff like that. Those are fine. There's nothing wrong with them. I fully agree with you. But there's a lot of junk offshore stuff that is not okay. And that's what you got to know the difference between. And we're really good at that. Do you understand what I'm saying? So it's not all aftermarket parts. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, I know. A lot of these aftermarket parts are made in China, no question about it, whatever it is. And I guess you can check the efficacy. You can check the efficacy of these various part systems.
Well, there's good parts made in China also. Heads up. So it's knowing the difference of the supplier and stuff. It depends. And you know what it depends on? The stipulations and specifications that they're made to and the quality of metal and material put into them, which makes a difference. Once again, some of these suppliers, if you don't know who or what you're buying or what it is, then sometimes you can end up with that. But you are correct. I am not bashing aftermarket parts. We use a lot of them, but good quality aftermarket parts, not...
Let me ask you just one final question.
Sure.
Why is it that on a BMW, this was a 2003 that BMW says that you can't grind them to specification. You're not allowed to grind them. You got to put in new ones.
Because
why do they
replace them? So, and, okay. And what happens every time, and if you try, you can cut them. And if you do, and I mean, we have on car lays, but if you do, you always get brake noise and chatter, and the performance of those rotors goes downhill. So we always replace them as recommended by the manufacturer just because you end up with problems.
For $25 a rotor, which I could buy, that's what I did.
Gotcha.
I just bought an aftermarket rotor, put it in, and they worked beautifully. Well, beautifully.
There you go.
Thank you a lot, gentlemen. Thanks for listening.
Have a wonderful weekend, and thanks for your input. We appreciate talking to you.
Bye.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, folks, we're going to have to take a first break here. Give us a call, though, at 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. If you want to talk about things like Les did, we appreciate all his questions he brought up. You help us make the show. You're listening to Auto Talk Radio on The Answer San Diego. We'll be right back after these messages.
There's more Auto Talk education and empowerment on the way here on Auto Talk Radio. Get on the line. line and get your automotive questions answered by the Auto Man here on Auto Talk Radio. Brian Bowersock, 888-344-1170. Now, here's more Auto Talk with Brian Bowersock.
All right, folks, welcome back to Auto Talk Radio. I'm your host, Brian Bowersock. In the house with me is my co-host, Kevin. We seem to rattle Les a little bit. I apologize, Les. I think you missed a little bit of what we were talking about as far as where aftermarket parts are not all bad, and we use a lot of them.
Well, that's why
some
of
them are better than some OEM stuff on certain things.
There's American companies that go over there and take their manufacturing specs and their people over there, and they manufacture it in China. That's whole different than a Chinese company actually manufacturing
it. Well, those are Chinese. There's a lot of Chinese companies that do quality too. I'm just saying there's a lot of stuff that's made extremely cheaply. Not to the specifications, not with the quality materials it's supposed to be made of, and that stuff is intermingled. And we know as automotive professionals what it is and where it is, and we won't use it.
It's even with food. If it's too cheap, there's probably a good reason why it's too cheap.
Spoiled.
Yes, that's my point.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, and that's what we were talking about. The stuff that. Putting those like wheel bearings, those extremely cheap ones. If a wheel and hub bearing assembly, aftermarket costs $200, and then or $300 or whatever it is, and then there's one that costs $70, and we know, and the thing is, we know the manufacturers, we do in the business, but I'm just telling you for the general layperson when it comes to these parts. That $70 one is not made like that $300 one. So you might have an aftermarket one that's $300. You have this one that's $70. And then you have a factory one that's $450.
Yes.
So aftermarket-wise, we would use the $300 one. Why? It's a quality part. It's made to specifications like the OEM one. So, which can be OES, original equipment supplier, makes a different one for aftermarket or OEM. A lot of times we buy, let's take the Denso radiator. Denso radiator comes in Toyota's and Lexus factory.
But you can still buy it aftermarket.
We buy it aftermarket from Denso. Yes. Yeah. It can be a savings for a customer. That's the stuff we know. Like, I'm going to use that quality aftermarket radiator. I'm not going to Lexus to buy that radiator.
Because it's the same radiator.
They will save our client money. But it's the same quality, exactly. And that's the point that I'm trying to make that's so important is the quality of the parts. Anyway, so no, I don't. I want to make sure that everybody knows that we're not bashing that stuff. Real quick, I did want to remind everybody, Auto Talk Radio is brought to you by the West Automotive Group, which consists of West Escondido Automotive and Transmission up at 2200 Auto Parkway in Escondido. AAA approved and star certified for over 28 years now, taking care of folks up there in North County, along with West El Cajon Automotive and Transmission out at 844 North Johnson Avenue in El Cajon. AAA approved and smog certified out there in East County, taking care of folks for over 7 years now out there in East County. And then West Kearny Mesa Automotive and Transmission, 8027 Balboa Avenue, right in central San Diego over there, AAA approved and smog certified. Taking care of folks over there for 4 years now. So doing a good thing. Bill over there managing, helping folks out. And West Miramar Automotive and Transmission. Kristen is my manager over there. She's amazing. Right at the Eastgate Mall in Miramar Road, right in the Golden Triangle here, right over by the studio here. AAA approved and star certified for smog. Taking care of folks over there for... Well, we'll be coming up on, we've passed 1 year. We're rolling up on two soon. So 1.5 or whatever you want to call it, 1.75. Anyway, all of the employees at the West Automotive Group, along with myself, come together to bring you Auto Talk Radio for one simple reason. We all believe in the same philosophy. That's we never put money ahead of people. Very important to us. Stop in to have your vehicle service repair and find out what quality automotive service repair is all about. We also have measures in place that we're making sure that we space people out and everybody's wearing masks and being safe, and we wipe down cars and keys and everything else before giving them back to you. So just taking care of you, making sure we do our part to get you service back on the road and do it safely. We're also proud to offer 6 months no interest for your vehicle service and repair needs. You can apply any of our locations, and we have several arms to help you out with that. And it's a good time to have that where you can just spread out. If you do need a repair, you don't have to worry about paying for it right away. Just a good way to go. So please ask about that. We're happy to help you out. You can also stop in and take advantage of our CertiCare transmission diagnosis, along with free shuttle rides to or from work or home, and low-cost rental vehicles at all four locations available. And CertiCare diagnosis is very important. If you think you have a transmission problem, or somebody's told you you have a transmission problem, get in and let our experts diagnose it. It's extremely important to know what's going on with the car. One of the great things about us, too, versus we have a complete transmission division, but one of the great things about us is also we're all master technicians. So not only are we adverse in diagnosing transmission concerns, but if it's another problem or whatever, we got you taken care of. We can figure it out for you and let you know. And that way you get an honest answer versus, you know what, we've seen multiple vehicles and everybody's heard me talk about this come in that somebody has said needed an expensive transmission repair or replacement, and it ends up not being an internal transmission issue. It's something else. That never happens, right, Kevin?
No.
So we see that a lot. We do. So please get your vehicle in. We don't want you to make an expensive mistake. And then we have to, you're still trying to figure out what's going on with the vehicle. We do see that. Check us out at westautomotivegroup.com. That's westautomotivegroup.com. From there, you can click on Auto Talk and all the podcasts are there. Also, want to remind folks when it comes to the show, we are podcasted on Apple, radio.com. You can get us on Spotify and iHeart there. There's like 20 of them, isn't there, Brendan? Like 20 of them?
Something like that. It's a high number.
There's a lot of them. So you can find our podcast almost anywhere also. Or you can go to our webpage, which is Auto Talk, right off of the West Automotive Group page. You click right through. You can also go to the Auto Man page, where all of our segments are posted from where I'm the Auto Man for the news on Fox 5 on Wednesday mornings. And on Friday, it's the CW, Channel 6 here in San Diego. And you can check all those out if you haven't seen them or missed them on the news. So just go to westautomotivegroup.com. You can also make appointments, see all about us, see all of our pictures there, and may, you know, we're here to help you in any way we can. That's westautomotivegroup.com. So anyway, we're going to have to take our last break here real quick. So give us a call, anything vehicle related, 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. You're listening to Auto Talk Radio on The Answer San Diego and K-Praise. We'll be right back after these messages.
There's more Auto Talk education and empowerment on the way here on Auto Talk Radio. Get on the line and get your automotive questions answered by the Auto Man here on Auto Talk Radio. Brian Bowersock, 888-344-1170. Now, here's more Auto Talk with Brian Bowersock.
Folks, welcome back to Auto Talk Radio. I'm your host, Brian Bowersock. We appreciate you joining us this morning. Thought we had a caller. Must have dumped him. Brendan got rid of him.
Yeah, it was a call for me. So.
Oh, it was? And then you put it on my call screener?
Yeah, I know, right? It was just because I have like a 2-second memory. I only have one cup of coffee. Still waking up.
Still waking up. Okay, we'll let you use that excuse. All right, folks. Welcome back to Auto Talk Radio. I'm your host, Brian Bowersock. Give us a call here at 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. Anything automotive vehicle related, and we're happy to talk to you about it. Auto Talk Radio is also brought to you by Interstate Battery, a battery for every need. Interstate Batteries are the highest quality batteries out there. We are a distributor for Interstate Batteries. We do not stock nor sell anything else. Why? Because they truly are the highest quality batteries out there. So if you need a battery for your vehicle, jump on westautomotivegroup.com and we'll get you in and get an Interstate installed for you. Like I said, once again, they are the highest quality batteries. We don't use anything else in our own personal vehicles, and we do not stock anything else. So when it comes to batteries. If you need a battery for any other need, you can check them out at 9345 Cabot Drive in Miramar or in La Mesa at 70th and University. Interstate Batteries, a battery for every need. Highest quality batteries out there. The technician's choice when it comes to batteries. Anyway, all right, so we're talking about all kinds of different things and parts and that. And we got on parts a little bit. A little story that I did there with a couple different parts. Just interesting this week. Things seem to come in waves sometimes, questions and stuff. So
cars do too.
Yeah, sometimes we'll see like three of one kind, huh? It's like a card game.
Yes, yes.
Three of a kind. Like three caravan transmissions, dump, 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 one after another. Or, you know, just things like that.
You know, when we were talking about the owner's manual in your car, there's a couple of them. I don't think they call it out enough.
Couple what?
Like transmission services.
Well, no, that's exactly.
A lot of these people are like, especially the Europeans, they like to say.
Lifetime fluid.
Yeah. Well, the problem is the fluid probably it is. It's all the stuff that's floating in the fluid that's not.
Well.
What? You get what I'm saying?
Well, that which causes the fluid to break down, so therefore it's not lifetime.
There you go.
So let's talk about that. Fluids and stuff like that. You will see a lot of vehicles these days that a manufacturer will tell you, oh, you don't service transmission. Let's talk about the transmission for a moment. We recommend 18 to 20,000 miles if you want to keep that in good working order. Transmission is a hydraulic unit. As Kevin said, the fluid circulates through it. It picks up contamination. Now we got planetary gears running on each other. We got clutches engaging in it. Little particles come off of everything.
Well, there's a lot of metal moving parts in there. Even with the lubrication there, you're going to make metal.
The valves,
yeah.
Especially now, because a lot of valves are pulse width modulated.
They move
around a lot.
Which
means they move a lot. So they wear valve body boards. And here's the worst thing about that. And we see a lot of valve body failures these days because you got steel valves running on aluminum or pop metal valve bodies, right? Whatever that metal. It's the metal they use inside a valve body is the valve body itself is a softer type of metal.
Yes.
And then they run a steel valve in it. And what happens with dirty fluid, it's like sandpaper with that valve and it's just wearing out the valve body, right?
Yes.
That's what happens. So, which can, in the minute you get valves sticking, you can burn up the rest of the trans if you're not careful. You get weird things going on.
Well, yeah, the valve sticks. It doesn't give the right amount of oil to a clutch pack, or it doesn't lube right to the planetaries or, well, you know, whatever.
Five miles of a slip in trans and you can call it done and good. You almost can't go back.
You don't even need to go that far. I
know. You can burn one up quick. Huh?
You can burn one up coming out of the parking lot if you're wrong.
Yeah, exactly. So the point to that is servicing is the best. It's kind of like buying insurance. That's what I always tell folks. So when we're talking about fluid intervals and things like that, changing your transmission fluid is imperative if you want to extend the life of your transmission. No question about it.
Well, even with your engine and all that stuff.
Well, that too. But right now I'm just talking about transmission. And that is one of the things that is forgotten about a lot or manufacturers don't recommend a service near as often as they should or not at all.
Yeah.
So, and I love that when people are like, oh, it's a sealed unit. It's not, I'm going to tell you something. There's no such thing.
No, it's got a vent on it. How can they make it sealed?
But I'm saying they'll like talk to a dealer service rep and they'll be like, oh, it's a sealed unit. We don't service those. Well, just so you know, I'm going to be very clear about this. Extended oil change intervals and not servicing things like that, when they say that, makes it so the manufacturer, when they can print the cost to operate and maintain this vehicle yearly, it drives that down. It makes it look better on paper and makes the vehicle where they can say, oh, to ownership and servicing of this vehicle only cost $293 a year on average or whatever. And that's where that becomes extremely important. I'm telling you right now to the manufacturer selling the car. That's why they do it. They don't really care if your transmission only lasts 100,000 miles, falls out of the car because you didn't service it. They don't care. It's out of warranty and it's actually better for them. Right?
Right.
Because either we're going to buy parts from them to fix it or they're going to get it into their service department to fix it, which...
And normally the higher dollar of the car, the higher dollar of the parts.
Exactly. Here's the point. So by not servicing it, they're fine with that. But let's get some questions answered. Let's grab Chris in Tierra Santa. Good morning, Chris.
Yes, speaking of transmissions and fluid, I had my cranny done at 90,000 miles by you guys. They're out in El Cajon. Mm-hmm. It's now got, let's say, going on 102K miles. But the thing is, it's now going on over three, maybe hitting the 4 years, because I don't put many miles on. Now, the question I have, and it pertains also to like fuel induction, which I had there, what's the importance of time versus mileage on something like a transmission or a fuel induction? I know things like a coolant's probably sitting there, probably should be changed out just probably from time. But what about transmissions and, say, fuel inductions if you don't put many miles on? But, you know, the time factor, how important is that?
Yeah, the only concern that we get with time when it comes to transmission fluid is moisture content. So so it in every unit does pull moisture into it and stuff like that. So I do mine yearly. I don't really pay much attention to my mileage, but I know I drive about 15,000 to 18,000 miles a year. So we always recommend 18,000 to 20,000 or once a year. In your case, I mean, you'd not put a lot of miles on. You could do it every couple years, you know, as far as that goes, but I still like to get the fluid changed out on it and keep them in good working order. Does that make sense?
Yes. Okay, good. That's good to know. That's something, you know, I haven't seen discussed in literature that I can recall. And what about fuel induction similarly?
Well, fuel induction is carbon buildup. So if you're not putting a lot of miles on, we recommend that once a year if you're driving, you know, over 15,000 miles more. That you can wait a little longer on. You're not going to, you have to actually be running the motor to build carbon buildup up. So that truly is more on mileage than it's going to be on time.
Okay. Just in passing, I take my car in for a recall. But even after, it's a 2004 and it's still getting recalls on it because of the airbag. And it's interesting because I asked about the coolant. He said, was it 7 years and 100,000 miles? You don't have to worry about it.
Yeah. And the problem with that, with coolant, is that coolant does break down. And what we found is, so that extended life coolant, we recommend 3 years or 50,000 miles on it, because it really starts to tear up the metals inside the cooling system and eats up gaskets and causes water pump seals to leak and all kinds of things that it deteriorates. And if you ever, and then it solidifies, actually turns into, and there's a radiator. If you ever go look at one of my Automan cooling segments where I have the radiator that's cut open, that's a radiator that went 75,000 miles without changing the coolant, and the bottom fins are all solidified in it. And that's because that high-oat coolant breaks down, whether they say it does or not. I know they say it lasts 100,000 miles, but you usually end up with issues with it, unfortunately.
Okay, very good. Well, thanks. I appreciate very much the information. You guys do a wonderful job.
Well, no problem. And hey, thanks for listening. If you ever have any other questions, you know where to find us.
Very good. Have a nice day.
You do. Have a safe weekend. Take care. Good question.
I'd want to say, with especially things with the coolant, like transmission fluid, because or motor oil. I mean, they all attract moisture, so
they do, and they all break down.
But coolant, because it is a water based, mm-hmm. I would think that it would separate more.
Oh,
you get what I'm saying. If it just sat there, it would separate.
It becomes more acidic.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah,
it really does. Just the way it,
because it's not moving. The molecule is not moving it around. So it's a little bit different than oil stuff.
Well, in that sediment stuff, is it breaking down? Plus, it attacking the inside of the motor parts, the metals, and all that, and that's what creates in the bottom rows of the radiator. So all of a sudden, you only have 2/3 of your radiator cooling the car, which can create hot spots with the motor cause. And here's the thing.
And you don't notice it until you're under a load, like climbing a grade
you
or something.
You could, but what you're also doing to the car is slowly causing damage.
Yes.
So it's more like an internal cancer on the vehicle, if that makes sense. So just one of those things when it comes to fluids and stuff like that. All right, let's grab Paul real quick in Coronado. Good morning, Paul.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. How are you doing this morning?
Good, good. Hey, good work, guys. Yeah, hey, look, I've got a couple questions. I missed your call screener, but I've got a 1984 Nissan pickup truck,
mm-hmm.
And the carburetor on those things need to be serviced every few years.
Yeah.
And I was wondering if there was any way I could either switch it to fuel injection or put another carburetor in it and make it California legal. That's one question. And I've got a 1985 pickup, Toyota pickup, four-wheel drive. And the idle air control valve is shot on it. And I've bought three of them from eBay and none of them worked. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering if you knew of a place where I can get a good idle air control valve. It makes the engine idle high when you start it. Oh, gotcha. So those are some of the questions I have, if you could answer them.
Okay, as far as smog legal with the carburetor, that's a very tough one. You used to be able to, and when you talk about fuel injection, like put a fuel injection system on it, like a newer system from a Nissan pickup truck, then you would have to obviously put the computer in and everything that goes along with that. But then you would, okay, you used to have to go to the Bureau of Automotive Repair and they would put a bar label on it. I don't think they even do that anymore. I don't think they even, I don't know of where they do that any longer. You'd go to the referee, they'd punch out this label and put it on the door. And as long as everything was smog legal and better, then, you know, there was rules you had to follow to do that. I don't even think that's available anymore to do. Somebody might correct me on this, but I don't know. So, and as far as replacement carburetor, I don't know if there's anything out there that's carb legal, and that's what it has to be to make you smog legal. As California Air Resources Board certified, it has to have a carb label for it if it's something that's not the OEM equipment. So that's a good question, and I don't really have an answer for you on that. I don't know. There'd have to be a lot of research done to figure out, you know, what can and can't be done. So that's one of those things. You're almost always best to stay with the OEM design and stuff that's legal for it. So you're probably stuck with a carburetor on it. That's probably my answer as far as that, you know, the exact design that's on it. And
we're running out of carburetor mechanics.
Yeah. Oh, they're running away fast. Most guys haven't even worked on them, you know, so these days that are still working. Because we had this discussion not long ago on here. What year did we come up with, Kevin, that was the last of the manufacturer's cars with smog?
It was like 87.
1987 or 89 or something like that is the last year that any cars came new with a carburetor. So we're getting a little bit from there. So it's been we're 30.
Okay, what is about that? The idle air control valve?
And what
on the 85?
85 what?
The idle air
Toyota control pickup
valve. Oh, it's 85 yeah. Toyota pickup truck.
Yeah.
You know, we still buy those. Yeah, you know what? We usually use a company for those, like called Worldpack, that you can't just walk into. It's only for professional.
Have you tried Toyota? But, just out of curiosity.
Yeah, Toyota doesn't have that anymore.
No, they don't.
Okay,
they
sometimes
don't.
They have a vintage parts division. That's why I asked. Yeah, you're probably getting some. eBay's probably tough. What were you buying used ones from there?
I'm assuming, yeah.
Yeah.
You know what? I tell you what.
Good.
Send me an email. You can send it to autotalk@westautomotivegroup.com with your year and that thing, and I'll take a look and see if I can find you a part number for a good one of those for the idle air control valve on that. I'm happy to do that. That's easier.
westautomotivegroup.com.
So just autotalk@westautomotivegroup.com.
Okay, well, @westautomotivegroup.com.
Yes, sir. Yeah, and I'll be happy to. I'll check Worldpack and that for you and see.
Awesome. Thank you, guys. I appreciate you helping me out.
No problem at all. Hey, thanks for being a listener, and have a safe and wonderful weekend. I'll look forward to your email.
God bless. Appreciate it. Thanks.
Take care. Bye-bye. So good questions always. Yeah. Parts do become a little harder to find on some of those older vehicles.
You know, and they're getting hard. It's like they discontinue parts faster these days.
They do. It's on like 10 years now on a lot of things. Like the manufacturers won't have them anymore.
I don't even know if Chrysler waits that long. I'm serious.
3 years. We're done with the car.
They're like 7 years. Boom, done.
And some of them, yeah. But most manufacturers.
Their wiring harnesses. This is really weird too, because Chrysler, especially Chrysler wiring harnesses, they get oil soaked and they tend to fall apart a little faster than other ones.
Mm-hmm.
they discontinued them things like 7 years. I've had to like build wiring harnesses for Chrysler cars.
Fixing them.
Yeah. Well, yeah, there's like this one Intrepid. I mean, the guy's car was nice. He kept it nice. And he's like, I don't want to get rid of my car yet. So yeah, we ended up building a wiring harness for it because they don't produce one. You couldn't find one, but you know.
Yeah. Yeah. One of those things. Some of that stuff is becoming way tougher to find for sure. All right, let's grab Frank. Good morning, Frank.
Hey, it's Frank, bored from California down here in Chula Vista.
Hey, what's happening?
Got my truck. Well, you guys are talking about transmissions. And you know, when I bought that truck, I took it up to Matt when he was up there at Kearney Mesa.
Uh-huh.
And I had him do a complete flush and filter change on that thing, you know. And when you guys are talking about changing that stuff out, do I need to do a complete change, or do I just drain the pan and go with that again?
The transmission. You know, if you stay on top of it, typically the yearly, then it's just replace the filter, pan gasket, and fluid in it. The only time we do a complete fluid exchange is if the fluid is pretty dirty. So yeah, if you do it yearly, then usually you can just get away with the service.
Yeah, he tried to talk me out of it. He says, Frank, this is great. I said, yeah, but it's a new truck to me. So we went ahead and did it.
You know, well, and that's a good starting point when you first get it. You know, like change out all the fluids. You know that they've been serviced now at this time. Now you can start your, you know, figuring out how you want to service it.
Well, that's another thing. If you start servicing things, you might find problems that you didn't know about. So you kind of know, hey, this is something else I have to address along the way, too.
Correct.
Yeah, it's got a drain plug on it. So just you don't suggest I just drain that and leave that same filter and change the filter out too?
I'd change the filter out. The filter grabs all the contaminants, and we see filters that if you just keep draining the fluid that grab all those contaminants and hold them in there, and then they start to solidify the filtering screen. So.
Well, not only that, most frictions are high energy anymore, and every time it shifts, little fibers come off of it, so it does get caught in the Dacron filter. So
yep. Yeah, filter's good to replace on those. Yeah. Not that expensive either. Well,
he put a bigger pan on this thing, so it looks like when it comes time to do that, you guys are going to have to do that for me. Otherwise,
you end up taking a bath, huh?
Yeah. I mean, it's up off the ground. I can get underneath it with the pans and stuff, but, you know, I'm not getting up and down as fast as I used to. The other thing was the radiator. The fluid. Do you guys recommend flushing that?
Yes.
Or just draining it and
we actually flush it and put cleaner through it. Just helps remove all the sediment and stuff. That's why. And it just keeps the cooling system in good working order. And also that cleaner has some lubricant stuff in it that helps with the seals and things like that inside the cooling system.
Yeah, I used to use that Presto stuff on my other truck. I haven't done this one yet.
Gotcha.
But I used the Prestone and took two or three bottles of that stuff just to run it for a while.
Clean it out. Yeah, that's a good way to do it. You can do it that way, too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just get bored down here, you know.
I just get bored. So you just, especially right now that you can't do any.
Last week.
Yeah, especially because we're not traveling anywhere. I mean, there's not much to do. Huh? Yeah. You go on your walk and then you can mess around the house. So that's about it.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Well, listen, guys, thank you very much for the info, and we'll see what happens here.
You got it, Frank. Thanks.
Hope everything clears up soon. Good to talk to you again. Thank you.
Take care, buddy. Have a great weekend. Be safe out there. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.
Frank obviously has great questions. So, yeah. So, talking about fluids and what. So, in engine oil, I mean, like, you know, you talked about things extended out. You're right. Oil picks up. And combustion process, there's some burning fossil fuels that blow past the rings, and that's always being picked up by the oil, right? No matter what. I don't care how great brand new the engine is or whatever. So that, and then that's carried around inside the oil. So going 10,000 miles and not changing oil is a terrible idea.
See, I still try to do mine every three.
My truck, I do every 4,000 miles, but we only use full synthetic fluids at our facility. That's it. So I do it every 4,000 because it's over 100,000 miles. Anything newer, 100,000 miles or less, you can go 5,000. I'm good with that, you know, because it's less burning oil. A higher mileage car, you need to put an eye on it more often.
Yes.
Then.
Well, I figured 3,000 miles. That way I don't run out of oil. It's just makes it easier on me.
It does. So good. good suggestion. So, but so 5,000 on newer cars under 100,000 miles, 4,000 I recommend over 100,000 miles, and just keep, you know, it's your investment. Car's an extremely expensive investment. You want to keep it in good order. You want to get 350,000 miles out of it, like the West Escondido F-250, then you need to service your vehicle. And the money you put into servicing will save you a lot of money in repairs later. Am I right?
Right.
I mean, if you, let's face it, you know, you service your transmission regularly like that yearly, you can extend the life of it for sure. Way better chance than if you don't. It's not a guarantee. Anything can fail and break like we were talking about earlier, but at the same time, it's the best option you have to protecting your investment for sure.
Yes.
Yep. That's it. That's it. So then same thing goes, we're going to run out of time here and we're about done, but all the other fluids such as differential, transfer case, everything suspends contaminants in it.
Yes.
Needs to be serviced at recommended intervals. If you need to know what those are, let us know. We'll be happy to help you out. All right, folks. So we appreciate everybody that called in, joined in, part of the show. You know, Auto Talk Radio is what it is because you guys all listen and also tend to call in and join in and add things to the show. And we always appreciate all the callers and everything. I want to recommend everybody to keep the rubber side down and the shiny side up as we head into the rest of the weekend here. Everybody be safe. Take care. Stay cool. And we'll be back
next Saturday. I think this weekend we might.
You're listening to Auto Talk Radio on The Answer San Diego and K-Praise, and we'll be back next Saturday. Take care, everybody.
Bye.
For answers to all your automotive questions, tune in every week at this same time for Auto Talk with Brian Bowersock. To learn more about Brian, become a guest or sponsor of the show, or if you have additional questions, visit thewestautomotivegroup.com. That's thewestautomotivegroup.com, and click on Auto Talk Radio. Join us again next week for more Auto Talk.
This program is sponsored by West Automotive Group.